On this episode of the Jolted EV podcast, we'll be talking about all the things that came out of NIO, the Chinese automotive manufacturer's annual NIO Day. This includes NIO's new model, the ET7, solid-state batteries, NIO autonomous driving, and power swapping 2.0.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to the first episode of our EV blog. I'm Christian Miles.
Hi, I'm Callum Martin.
And hopefully we're going to take you through the wonderful world of EVs with some stories, facts, information, and lots of other things to go with it. Today, we felt it appropriate on the first day to talk about NIO's day, which was last week, and they had some pretty interesting announcements. Callum, do you want to open us up with that?
Yes, sure. So I'll highlight, obviously, what came out of NIO Day. So let's start with the NIO ET7, so their new flagship sedan that they've just brought out. I mean, it looks a beautiful vehicle. I know we spoke before and we were saying it looks very European for a Chinese manufactured sedan. Mm-hmm. It's got a ton of new features. You know, the thing that struck me most was obviously the interior. The interior looks brilliant, and how NIO have marketed it is that it is essentially bringing the living room to the car, which I just find interesting for, you know, where NIO are going and where they see, you know, the primary function of a car going, and how they're providing that to their customers. It's a different, innovative way of doing it, and very different to what the others are doing.
Now, presumably that sort of fits in with their future proofing around two things: their NAD, their NIO autonomous driving, which I have no doubt you'll be able to tell us a lot more about as well, but also alongside their computing capability that they put into this thing, which is horrifically good. it is. Do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, so obviously another thing that they announced was there's the NAD, the NIO autonomous driving. So essentially what this is a super sensing system, which they call Aquila, and it's basically a super computing platform that does AI on site on the car. It comes with a massive 33 high performance sensor units, so that includes cameras, LiDAR. So the cameras are actually 8 megapixels, which I believe is 7 megapixels more than the Tesla ones. So what they're saying is that enables them to get more high resolution pictures of their surroundings, which then in turn means that they can train their artificial intelligence a lot better with these obviously more detailed pictures that they can capture the details from. So this device as well, like you say, has 4 NVIDIA Drive Orin system on chips. So for a lot of you, that may mean nothing, but for the guys that are bothered about
me
that
included
that is, yeah. For the guys that are bothered about that, it is an absolute beast of a system on chip, and it's been made especially for self-driving and onboard AI.
So do we think then, sorry, I didn't mean to cut in there, but do we think that the reason that Tesla have stuck with a 1.3 megapixel camera, because let's face it, they could afford a bigger CCD chip, you know, that's not an issue. But do we think then that the extra computing power of this NVIDIA chipset has enabled them to consume more input data via the higher resolution camera?
Exactly, yeah. And I read somewhere that they were ingesting 8 gigabytes of data from these sensors a second. So they are,
jeez,
they are, the throughput on this is absolutely massive, and it's expected, to be honest, with 33 high performance sensors. You know, it's an absolute beast of a processor, a processing computer, and they are showing that with the amount of data they're putting through it. And I would hope that their autonomous driving will be very good because of it, but we'll wait to see on that.
Wow, I mean, just to put that into perspective, that's 2 or 3. Full length 4K films per second.
Yep. Which is crazy. And that's coming from 11 cameras and, you know, LiDAR sensors and everything else. So you'd expect that, really. 8 gigs a second. It's massive.
It's a huge amount of throughput, though, isn't it? Yeah, exactly, to process all of that information in what is, in effect, real time.
Yeah.
Because it would have to be real time. And of course, on a millisecond level, it's not 8 gig. I appreciate that. So in a real time basis, it's not. But yeah, for every second passed, 8 gig of data, that is horrifically impressive. As I said, I've said that twice now, because it shouldn't be underestimated just how future-proof that design is. I think they've set the standard there.
And what they're saying as well is, obviously, they've got four NVIDIA system on chips. So they're essentially splitting them up and having different accountabilities for each one. And one of those is going to be, obviously, responsible for processing this data, but also training the models back on this data as well. So
it's really interesting. And I don't want to get too technical, because you'll lose me. But what you were saying earlier when we were chatting was that each of these cars are able to process their AI independently of any cloud AI platform.
Yeah, so another thing that comes with the ET7 is the NOMI, which is essentially their Siri or Alexa in-car voice system. And it's now that they've now got the capability to learn on the fly from the user from the driver that's using it. And understand that driver and develop its needs and things like that. Now, I don't know how far that's going to go. Are they going to go as far as, I know that you like this seat setting, I can tell by your voice, you're in the driver's seat, this is how you like the car? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to go with it, but it's really exciting. And the fact that they can do that on the fly with this absolute beast of a device is a next step in the, I don't know if it's the right direction, but the way that EVs are going at the moment.
Well, I find that really interesting, because actually one of my chief concerns of the developing world is how transparent we've had to become with large corporations and everyone, you know, everybody. We seem to share our data all the time. Yep. And we share it because we want those creature comforts. And so we accept the fact that a lot of that data is going to go into some form of central storage. To be drawn upon when it chooses. But what could be the case here with this Neo is that you create your own ecosystem of data on vehicle. And I hope that that's the way that they push this thing towards the end of this period. Because I think what they'd get there then is a Chinese brand that would immediately have a lot more buy-in and trust from people, because what they're not trying to do is own your world. And so for me, that's really positive. And I'm not making the suggestion that that's their end game here. It may very well not be, but I think they would be taking a massive leap in the right direction were the case.
Yeah. So for the pleasure of having the autonomous driving, so we know Neo likes the as a service model. They've done it with their batteries, and they're going to have autonomous driving as a service as well at around £76 a month. That's what they've said at the moment. So we'll see.
Okay, right. So that's the Tesla equivalent of their control pilot scheme.
Yeah, exactly. But with the Tesla, I believe you buy it at purchase, don't you? So you buy
it's effectively an in-app purchase of $5,000 or
exactly. Yeah, whereas Neo are doing it more as a subscription model, which I like, actually.
Well, me too, because if you're selling the car on, you haven't had to outlay all of that initial cost in the hope that you can claw some of that back when you sell it. You let it go and away you go.
And it's the genius of Internet of Things and vehicles now being able to be updated and downgraded on the fly. So, you know, you sell it on, you don't want the driving, you don't want the autonomous driving anymore, fine, we'll just take it away from you.
That's very interesting. And actually, speaking of the same as a service model, and we were talking about it earlier as well, the battery as a service, should we talk about that a bit more?
Yeah, sure. So battery as a service is essentially a new way of, I think Neo have identified that obviously the battery is the most expensive part of the vehicle, it tends to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can knock a lot of money off of the car and make it a lot more attractive for people if they sell them the battery separately. So essentially what they've said is you can buy this model without owning the battery, and just pay for the battery monthly rather than having a big outlay on the car and the battery, and keep a bit of cash in your pocket. So essentially what they've done is they've knocked $8,000. So we've converted it from Chinese yuan to British pounds. They've knocked £8,000 off of every model if you go for their battery of a service model, if you go for the 70 kilowatt hour battery. And then you'll just pay for it. You'll just pay for it, obviously, subscription based. So I'm not sure of the figures now. I think it was just over £100 a month.
Yeah, it was £110 a month. What I thought was I was about to say interesting, but no, it's not actually. I didn't really like it when I was looking. But if you don't go for the battery as a service model and you do purchase the battery outright for the $8,000 extra, so you pay the full asking price of the car, you still have to then pay nearly £10 a month for the privilege of having the battery.
Yep.
And I couldn't quite understand the value from that. So if anyone can inform us on that and let us know what exactly you are paying for that £10, I'd love to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's their worry-free service plan, isn't it? The £10.
I think so, but I couldn't work it out because their warranty 2.0 seemed to say that you kind of get all of that with it anyway.
So
whether you know, for instance, if you bought that car and sold it on to somebody else, would they still have to pay that £10, or is it just the initial owner? And in fact, would the warranty move on with them? A couple of interesting questions that I'm sure we'll find answers to as we go down the road, particularly for the ET7, which is, it's not even out yet. When does that ship? When's the ET7 shipping?
I think they're saying Q1 2022. And then obviously so another exciting thing was obviously the solid state battery pack. It will come with the solid state battery pack in 2022 Q4. But I think that'll get pushed into 2023 if I'm completely honest.
Flatly honest, yeah. But well, actually, to be fair, pretty impressive figures. 360 watt hours per kg. Which is, well, it's industry leading currently, isn't it? Well,
yeah,
it's industry leading when it comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not here yet, and I'm sure the 23 months that there are in between that, there could be something happen with Tesla or Toyota as well, because they've definitely got a solid state battery in the works. Mm-hmm. But that 360 watt hours gives you about 620 miles of range, doesn't it? So 1,000 kilometers of range.
Yeah, but that's any DC. So as we were discussing as well before this, any DC, for anyone that doesn't know, is a way of figuring out mileage for a car, but in theoretical simulation. So it's not actually been tested on the road. It's just what they think it would do in certain conditions with the current specs of the car. And then there's one called W. The name escapes me now, but it starts with a W.
I need you to tell me the initials, and then I need you to tell me what it's called as well.
WLTP. I'm typing it up now. WLTP, Worldwide Harmonized Light Vehicle Test Procedure.
Rolls off the tongue, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they essentially use real driving data instead of simulation to find it out, and that tends to be more accurate. So what NIO are saying is 621 miles with their new solid state battery that ships Q4 2022. But that is NEDC, New European Driving Cycle, which is a simulation instead of a real world test. The real world test will probably be a little bit less than that.
Yeah, I mean, we did a very quick calculation, didn't we, earlier, which is not scientific at all. So please don't take it as being read. But we figured it would be 60 to 70 miles less in the conversion from NEDC to WLTP. But don't hold us to that. It could really be anything at all. There's no algorithm yet to work out the difference between the two. And I'm sure from manufacturer to manufacturer, they'll all be looking at that in a slightly different way as well as to how they simulate it and apply real world.
Yeah, I think it's interesting with the solid state battery. 360 watt hours when I was watching it didn't blow me away.
No.
To be honest, I thought, you know, we've obviously read a bit about solid state batteries, and a lot of people have been claiming, you know, 500 watt hours per kilogram, 550, 600. And for them to come out at 360, I mean, obviously, I think the Tesla Model 3 is 260, I think, is the new one. So it's 100 watt hours more than that, which is obviously it's a good amount, but it's not what I expected from a solid state battery.
Well, it's not the earth shattering figures that have been bandied around. And just to be clear, that's probably not NIO's fault.
No.
You know, there are a number of people out there at the moment who are touting solid state battery as being the next big thing. And I have absolutely no doubt it is. We've spoken before, and the chap who invented or is credited for inventing lithium batteries, Goodenough, he has put his name to solid state battery, and I very much doubt that he'll have done that on a whim. So, mm-hmm. so I, you know, I've no doubt that there's going to be some major developments in solid state, but it is a little bit disappointing, I guess, or it takes the edge off the excitement to hear that they haven't even been able to crack the 500 watt hours per kilogram at this stage. And in fact, it falls some way short of that, about 28% short of that, which is fairly significant, you know, insofar as actual miles of range. If you added 28% onto 1,000 kilometers, you're looking at nearly 1,300 kilometers, which is a really substantial amount of miles per charge. But going on then to charge, actually, because the facts that I've got here, or the figures say that their current infrastructure allows 100 kilometers for every 10 minutes of charge, effectively, or for the first 10 minutes of charge, it'll give you 100 kilometers. But you've been reading some analysis that suggests that solid state's considerably better, haven't you?
Yeah, so some people are saying in the industry that with the right supercharger and everything else, and something that can supply that sort of power, this battery could charge from 0 to 110 minutes. But that is,
and that's 100%, not 100 kilometers.
Yeah, exactly. So to 100% in ten minutes. So obviously now I think NIO are charging 0 to 80 in 30 minutes or something like that. Whereas this new solid state battery would charge to 0 to 100% in 10 minutes, but that is just an industry estimation of what I've been reading on some articles. So don't take that as gospel.
when we were told 500 watt hours was the minimum,
yeah, exactly.
We can assume that 10 minutes is actually 25.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and 28% on, because that seems to be the standard.
Exactly, but you know, like we were talking about the other day with this range and with this, you know, if this charge time is correct or it's somewhere close, it does almost eliminate that range anxiety that people get about electric cars. And, you know, if someone can get a 621 mile range out of their battery, are they really going to do that sort of mileage or without stopping? Definitely not. You know, and there's not many people that could drive 621 miles and not stop. and if they do stop for 10 minutes, they'll get 100 kilometers back.
And here in the UK, if you drove for 621 miles, you'd be halfway through the Atlantic Ocean or somewhere in the English Channel.
So
really not an issue for us at all. And you know, perceived range anxiety, and we've spoken about this a few times in the past, it is only a perception. Yeah, and I've suffered from it when making decisions around electric cars. Will I have enough for that super long trip that I'm probably not going to make? Mm-hmm. It's not a real thing. In most cases, if you've got 100 miles of range left, that's probably going to sort, unless you're doing sales around the M25 belt or up and down the M1, in which case it's a very different situation and you might want a different car on that basis. But for everyday living, if people are traveling less than 20 to 30 miles a day, it's just not realistic, and 100 miles is probably 3 days worth of travel.
Mm-hmm. And if NIO managed to bring their infrastructure to the UK, if we're talking about a UK-based NIO here,
mm-hmm.
you know, are we? They've done a very, very good job in China of trying to eliminate this range anxiety with their power company, NIO Power, who are essentially mobile power stations who can, you know, almost like the AA in the UK, you can just call them and they'll save you and they'll give you a boost of charge from their battery pack in the back of the van. And off you go. So is there any situation where you would feel like no one was going to come and help? Probably not. You know, and
Totally agree. I mean, it's really interesting what they've done here, because what they're saying, and this I presume is for the Chinese market, not for the UK market, just to be clear. But if they are going to be serious about selling in you know, Western countries, then they will have to bring this over. But they're saying 6 times a month or 12 times a year, you can use their out-of-town power service for free. You can also use their valet service 15 times in a year. And that's, as you said, it's literally you call them up, they bring a charge station, they charge up for you wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and they go away again. And you also get 1,000 kilowatt hours of free power every month from them as well, which is for probably most people more than enough. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's about 8 full charges per month. And when you think about how many times you fill up your car, if your car had a 600 mile range, obviously, yeah, if it only has a 300 mile range, you times that by 2. But not many people are filling up their car from empty to full more than twice a week.
Well, who's driving 5,000 miles a month? You know, that's near.
Yeah, not happening, is it? Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's not going to happen unless you are in sales. And if you are in sales, then this car is for you, to be fair, because you've got 600 mile range and all the fuel you could possibly need.
Yeah,
in fact, it's a bargain, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's
costing you literally nothing to drive that car. So that's pretty cool. What else? Mm-hmm. What else were we looking at with Nier? What was exciting is about them?
Yeah, so obviously as well, we've got the power swap stations. So NIO have got a great infrastructure in China. Obviously, they're only operating in China at the minute, but they've got over 100 power swap stations at the moment. And I was actually watching someone on YouTube use one of them. At the moment, it's not fully autonomous, but looking at it at the moment, it's so high-tech and cool. So essentially what happens is a robot comes from underneath the car, unscrews all the well, it's not a robot at the moment, it's manually operated, I believe. There's an operator that sits at the side of the bay that you park your car, operates the machine to take off the bolts and things underneath the car. The battery, your old battery, goes down into the underneath the pit. Yeah. And essentially a new fully charged battery rolls onto the platform, and it pushes it up into the car and bolts it back in, and you're away with a new fully charged battery in 3 minutes, they reckon. So now, obviously, with the autonomous thing, it'll take the man or woman out in the room next to the bay, and it'll just be a robot operating that and able to unscrew the bolts, take the battery out, store the battery, charge the battery, bring out a new battery, and put you a new battery in, all fully autonomous.
And I was reading about that as well. And what it also does at the same time is talks to the car to make sure that the car's okay, that everything's working fine. Genuinely.
Are they abusing you, poor car?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It has a short psychology session. Make sure everything's okay. And it's going to be
ragged. They're running me ragged today.
This is the third time I've been here. but that whole time, they're making sure everything's fine. And that's amazing, because what you're effectively having is a mechanic, in inverted commas, look at your car every time you jump in and get a battery change. And that's improved then even further with the autonomous system, because you've got no one to wait for. People aren't going to get sick or anything else. Further reducing any range anxiety you may have, because you can just rock up there, get it done at any time of the day or night. You don't have to pay or anything else. It talks to you. And in fact, I don't know whether you know too much about the UWB, the smart key, which presumably has NFC technology. So you can operate your car via your mobile phone. Mm-hmm. But it's not just operating the car. It's it's actually talking to the car itself, so you can tell it when you're walking up to it to open it up. You can start the car and have it on effectively a I can't remember what it's called now, but you can program it to do certain things at certain times the way that you want it to do it. And I'm guessing that would hook in with Nomi as well, so that your phone is talking to Nomi, so that it's getting to know you all the time. In fact, I've just realized, know me.
Know me.
You know, I've said that 50 times, and it's just occurred to me that it says, know me.
Well, you're faster than me. I didn't even get it.
Well, there you go, guys. Know me is actually know me.
Not Siri, not Alexa, me.
No, me, yes. Don't know me, not anyone else. Well, that's a good point, actually. We're going to see that on phones next, aren't we? Neo phones. Yeah. That's coming. I can feel that. But anyone who is listening, it's definitely worthwhile going and having a look at the video of the autonomous battery swap taking place, because it really does look quite phenomenal. And I don't know whether we can or not link in this podcast to that, but
perhaps if it's our first time doing it, so we'll try. If not,
we'll have a go.
Excuses.
Yeah, absolutely. Come and moan at us if we haven't done it. We don't mind. We'd like your feedback. We'd like to know that someone's listening more than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you are, great. Have a moan. It's not a problem. But over in China, actually, they've done about 1.5 million of these swaps up to now. And given that they haven't been around very long, that must be a very efficient process, because I think it was one every 10 seconds.
I believe as well, with the new model, it's going to be integrated with autonomous driving. So it's going to be able to park in the bay itself, line up with it. So you're basically going to say, I want to go to this bay. It's going to drive you there, park you in the bay, and charge it for you as well. It's going to be able to navigate that.
Wow.
All okay. Which is really cool.
Isn't it just? And presumably it would know as well, because I guess it's in touch with those bays. So if the bay is in use, or there's a long waiting list or otherwise, it would presumably know.
Yeah, exactly. And it will probably say, you know, there's no batteries in the rack that are fully charged. Would you accept a half charge or whatever? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. But I would imagine that it would be able to talk to the car and to you, essentially.
Yeah.
And ask for your decision, sort of thing, or make the decision for you.
Well, maybe so. That's the scary world we're entering into, where it's driving you 500 miles to go pick up a battery because everywhere else is full. And it's decided that the 3-hour drive is better than waiting 3 hours and 15 minutes in a pub. Because it doesn't drink.
This one's got a really nice view, and I know you like views, so I'm going to take you 4 hours.
We noticed you on Google looking at the East Coast. So we decided to take you there to change your battery. It's okay, we checked your diary, you're free. And the doors lock as you try to get out. Just to be clear, anyone listening, that is not going to happen, I'm quite sure. And we are being entirely farcical here. None of this will happen. Know me, I have no doubt, is perfectly innocent and not trying to take over the world just yet, until she's got 8 NVIDIAs in. 4's just not enough.
So another load of sort of comfort in the car is that they've put, and it's the first time I've seen this really, it's not that common in the UK, is they've put massage in the front and rear seats of the ET7. So that comes as standard. That's like a standard feature.
Well, you obviously don't capability. Have the class that I have, dear boy. because Range Rovers have massage, and so the BMW, I think it's a 7 Series. I couldn't afford the 7 Series, so I've never had one.
But they're quality cars, though.
They are very high-quality cars, and that's clearly where Neo are pitting themselves, isn't it?
Yeah.
Up against the 70s. No, it's really...
In the rear seats as well, or just in the front?
I don't know about the rear seats, actually. Mm. Definitely the front seats. Rear seats, maybe not, actually. Yeah, that's. I'd have to look at that. But actually, now that we're talking about the interior, there's a few interesting things. First of all, it's got 23 speakers in it.
I saw that, yeah. It's amazing. And I think it was 7.1.4 immersive sound system. Which is, I mean, that doesn't mean much to me. I don't know.
What the hell's the 0.4? I know that the 7.1 is 7 speakers plus a subwoofer.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the 0.4?
The 4, I'm not sure. any sound geeks will be able to tell us that. I don't know.
Please, someone give us the 0.4. What is it? I'd love to know. So further step then, the air vents. Just wanted to talk about the air vents. Now, I can't really explain it I don't think in a visceral enough way. But you've got to see those things because they look awesome. They remind me of a Dyson air, the Dyson fan.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. It's like a slit across the dash that blows air out. And it looks fantastic. I've never ever spoken about air vents in a car before, ever. because they're so underwhelming, aren't they, generally speaking? But these things are amazing. They look fantastic. And the other...
Gonna have a look now.
Have a look at it. Do it. Because I promise you, you're gonna say to me, wow, yeah, they're really cool. But further to that, they've also used renewable rattan wood for a lot of their internal cabin furnishing. And so it's a bit of a gesture, I get it. But it's a gesture that they've taken into consideration. And and it's something that they're not deforesting. They're not using palm oils or anything else. You know, they will have a supplier of rattan that's very quick growing stuff, but really hardy as well. So their net impact from that specific perspective is zero or very close to it, because obviously the farming of it's going to cost, have a carbon cost. But it's really interesting that they are starting to think about those things.
Yeah, they've considered that, and they've considered the person who's going to be buying this car is someone who, I mean, we're all going to be forced into it at some point. But but the person that's buying this now is probably conscious about that. So they've gone for that, which is really cool.
I'd have thought so, and it's something that I think we don't necessarily associate China with, and that is having that sort of ecological footprint or consideration. But I think I think China are waking up to that anyway. You see it in the news all the time that they are now leading the drive towards carbon neutrality. But the companies that sit under that as well are thinking the same way, which can only be a good thing, not just for the car industry, but for world peace, baby. Or at least for a more carbon neutral world. at the very least. I've written on here 4D Dynamic Central.
4D Dynamic Central.
Why did I write that? I don't know. I won't harp on it. But I should have taken better notes.
Oh, I know.
Go on.
That's so I think they've done something with high definition maps and high resolution sensors, and then the system essentially detects the road conditions in advance and actively adjusts the suspension and stuff for comfortable experiences.
That's exactly what it is, and I was super impressed with that, because air suspension's not a new thing. You know, it's been around for a long time. Again, Range Rovers have had them for many years, and so have a number of other cars. But what this does is it surveys the road ahead, decides what the optimum settings for the suspension would be for that specific piece of road, and delivers an experience to you based upon where on that road you are. So it might want to stiffen it, it might want to soften it, it might want to soften it in one corner but not the others, because you're hitting it at an angle or otherwise. And I mean, that is seriously impressive stuff. That's
very clever.
It's so clever, and it's all about that drive experience or the ride experience. Your experience on that is going to be so much nicer, so much more comfortable, and so much more pleasant, that it all feeds into that second living room experience, doesn't it? That they're trying to create here. Particularly if you're watching something on Netflix, what you don't want to be doing is bumping up and down all the time, not being able to watch your. I don't know what you'd watch on Netflix, actually. Queen's Gambit. That's it.
But while you're sipping your peach iced tea, and having your Sunday roast in your car,
delivered by valet, Neo valet,
by Deliveroo, the cyclist next to you, just
where are you? I'm driving down the A1. What?
Yeah,
I'm on the other side. You better pedal fast, brother.
Yeah.
The car won't slow down. I've asked it to.
Yeah.
Oh dear, but you're right. I mean, that's where it's going, isn't it? Without a doubt.
Yeah.
They're gearing up for total immersion in your car, mm-hmm. Where mm-hmm. actually instead of nipping off into the office or the shed to get away from the kids or the husband or the wife, you nip in the car. You have a half an hour drive to go get some free electricity that they're offering, so it didn't cost you anything to go and do that, and you watch half an hour of Netflix while you're doing it.
Get a pep talk from Nomi at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you know,
no, it's Nomi. Remember,
Nomi.
Nomi.
What should I do?
Yeah,
what should I do?
Yeah, where should I go, Nomi? Well, you did like the East Coast last time. No, I didn't. Click. Doors are locked. I'm calling the wife. She'll tell you you'll be back in 6 hours.
Yes. Shall I tell the wife where you're going?
Where is that, I know? Where did I go the last time? Oh, dear. So so that's that. I mean, I think that sort of rounds up the Neo date fairly well, doesn't it?
Yeah,
tries to break down.
Else I can add.
No. Well, it's broken down some of their newer technologies and looked at what we may be looking forward to in this country at some point. We don't know when. If we do find out, we'll either pin it to this or feature it in another episode. But in the meantime, please, if you can, give us some feedback. If you enjoyed it, if you hated it, we're happy either way. We'll modify it if we can. If you loved it, fantastic. Stick with it. Subscribe to the cast. And we'll see you on another episode.
Thank you very much.
Cheers now. Bye.